Yes. So as I said at the start, we're going to be fairly rapid because this man has been with us for 24 hours. It's been a whirlwind. It's fabulous he's come here tonight. I think that just shows you the commitment that he has to Manchester United.
Yes, Ollie, lad!
I've just got the blazer that Daily Blint have to wear. So I'm not too bad. I'm still in shape, apparently. So it's been absolutely crazy the last few days since Ed rang me Tuesday morning. I've got to say, it's great coming home.
Yes, Ollie!
Extraordinary being at the training ground today, seeing you come in, then seeing Mick come in, the way you walked around, the way you spoke to everybody, you knew half the people's names from many years ago. But how does it feel when you hear Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you are the Manchester United manager?
I'm so humbled and absolutely, it's such a pleasure and a privilege and an honour to be the leader of this team, because I'm just part of the team.
Yes, lad!
And we're all part of this team, and it's all great to see everyone having fun here, because that's what it's about, football. Football's about fun. We are here to help the players have fun on the pitch, put everything in place for them. But tonight you should enjoy yourselves, because they don't wait for your help tomorrow morning.
I think they're all...
And, what is it, good evening? Someone said, please don't do your shit accents at the start, so I won't. It's Fred News Podcast 32, and we're in the car after a game with Nick and Nathan. Hello, Nick and Nathan.
Hiya.
And what did we think after our win over Brighton?
First half was pretty comfortable, and then they just sort of let the foot off the gas a little bit, didn't they? And fair play to Brighton, they got one back and... just got a bit nervy, but there's just another win in it, so you can't really...
Seven out of seven. If you'd have said that a month ago, what would you have done? Seriously.
Lock you up and put you in an asylum with a straitjacket.
Well, the one thing, that was a little bit of a warning, I thought, at the end, mm-hmm. without putting a dampener, that just don't get ahead of yourselves.
Yeah.
Your team still has weaknesses, your team still has errors in it.
Young was poor today.
Yeah,
I thought he was very poor actually today. He got caught out.
He's tracking back. Well, I think he was too far forward.
I think that's something that Ole obviously blatantly wants him to do, to get that far forward, because
yeah.
that's not what he's been
no.
like under anybody else. Which is fine. I'm all for that. I just thought we were saying it was a bit odd that he was at right back and Dallow was at left back. You think considering
yeah.
how good Dallow is going forward and what we've seen of him, and okay, albeit it's flashes.
But
so
he was
far.
In for sure as a late change, was he? Because
yeah,
I don't.
But like, still, you could put right. Young at left back though. Couldn't
yeah,
you?
That's what he was. Well, he has. Yeah.
So it just seemed a bit odd, really.
But maybe he's seen something in training, I don't know. You don't. But I thought it was
maybe
just...
that's why Young looked poor, because he was not playing where he...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was just a little precursor that don't get ahead of yourselves. We still, you know, there's still a lot mm-hmm. here. But there were a lot of positives. I thought Matic was very good.
He was very good, actually.
He's been a transformed player.
Lindelof.
Yeah, brilliant.
Lindelof was...
Jones did his... Jones, which was just... jump in the air and then collapse as if you well, that was insulting, that picture on Facebook. I thought people would say, oh, you had hair. No, you look like Phil Jones.
You did look like Phil Jones.
And Rashford, that's one of the best performances, singular, I've seen at Old Trafford
wow.
in a long time, I thought.
Wow.
I was positively enthused.
He was good.
It was a very good goal, that, wasn't it, really? It looks like he took it well.
Well, I didn't get carried away with, you know, Ollie can transform him, you know, but there's just it's confidence breeds everything in football, but mm-hmm. it's just, I mean, it was reminiscent, the goal of his first goal against, was it Aalborg? You know, that little run he had at Arsenal and Aalborg. Midtjylland, that's it. Aalborg was a pre-season friendly, wasn't it? And then he ran to the family stand and celebrated, and yeah. I thought... But his maturity, the power he gets on those shots.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely worked on that, hasn't
he? Yeah.
Ronaldo-esque.
It's such an odd way of striking the ball. I mean, it works. Obviously, it's really, really good. But it's just, you know, you don't see many footballers hit the ball like that, do
no.
you?
No. The potential.
He hits it really well.
It's just, I was actually, I'm buzzing. I know people rave about Martial and he's doing, but for me, at the moment, Rashford's
the one.
Giving me the horn.
He's getting better week after week, hasn't he? It's
really... Yeah. Like a transformator, but and then Lukaku, and I just we go around but that touch.
Yeah. But
I know, so yeah, no,
you've got to give it to Solskjaer to have the balls to say, Lukaku, you're not doing it, and
yeah,
these other ones are.
Well, and I know he's injured now, but Fellaini, you're not coming anywhere near this squad because you're not in my plans. So, you know, there is a ruthless element coming in,
yeah,
and 7 out of 7.
I think he's just doing that because he's. Temporary for now, or do you think?
You know? I don't know. Well, this is what, as ever, there's a clamour, and I'm not saying it's coming from fans, but it will certainly come in the media that, you know, you need to make a decision. It's like almost the momentum where I'm not against Ollie, and, you know, a part of me actually wakes up in the middle of the night and thinking, fucking hell, can you imagine Ollie getting not a 6 year, just give him a year or a 2 year, nothing to lose, but I don't think we can. Why make decisions until April? Just let's see how it goes. Well, you'd hope not. I wouldn't like United to suddenly say, we know that the seeds are, we're giving him a 6 year deal. I just don't think you need to do that.
I wouldn't trust this football club.
No, about anything. Well, that's what I mean. We cannot get carried away enough to think.
I just don't trust the football club to not make a daft decision and give him a contract in March and say, you're doing so well, brilliant, here you go. I just think, why would you even... You don't even need to speak about it until we've won the Champions League and the FA Cup. So we're never going to lose again. You don't need to think about anything until then.
Well, would that put us in the league equation if we never lose? If we beat City and Liverpool, we're back in running for the league?
No.
And my bet, the League and European Cup double, where they've never offered me a cash out once all season... I might see the little stirrings of a... You can cash in for a penny.
And would you take it?
No, I'll wait for the 850 in May.
Ah, right.
But, yes, but as you said, me and Steve were talking during the game. You know, the backward thinking of this club. I know they thought Jose... But we gave Fellaini an 80,000 deal in July when no one else was in for him at certainly that level of wages. Mm-hmm. So, no wonder he's suddenly... injured.
Yeah.
You know, why? Oh, what, Galatasaray offering me 40? No, I think I'll hang around a little bit longer here.
Needs to come in for him, don't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, or America. Qatar or something like that.
Yeah.
Just anybody that gets rid of him.
Yeah, but he's tried his hardest. I do feel he gets... There are worse players under the last three years.
He's got us out of some scrapes.
He's not United, but there are worse attitudes and players than his. If he goes, I think he would deserve a little bit of, you know, he didn't kick off. He got booed that time, which was ungracious during a game, you know? So...
We've fought something before during the game.
What, something profound? I always say this.
Don't say what
I can't wait for you to ask me to sell special game in 2 years' time.
Jesus Christ.
Because it could...
Who? What?
Phil Jones could have a testimonial in a couple of years.
He's been here 8 years.
Nathan, can you sell the Phil Jones' testament? Should I put Phil Jones on the cover? That Panini sticker where he suddenly looks handsome. What does he do when he just jumps in the air like a dying swan and then just lands in a heap like Bambi? What are you doing?
I just find it really funny. It's like he gets a lot of stick, and I'm not saying he's good or not, but I'm just saying there must be something there for like Fergie, Moyes, whatever, you know.
But you could say that, but for a lot of people,
people are picking him, though.
Hang around long enough, you become part of the furniture at this club at the moment.
We're going to get testimonials at United. And
well, Smalling.
It'll be like a hat trick of combined testimonials.
Well, surely do it all in one. Oh, don't do one after the other. Can you imagine over consecutive nights?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I saw because there's Public Enemy. Who else?
Wu-Tang and De La Soul.
Yeah, are doing like a trio of rap, you know, things. That could be the Smalling, Phil Jones, the tour, the world tour it could be. Would we sell out the grounds?
Just hope they don't come back.
So, any worries bigger than... Are we just carrying along? Smiling faces today, how good was it?
We said before that the front few of... They just love playing with each other, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why it's great that Ole's letting them do it, and
we can counter at speed.
Like, there was one chance only where I think it was Rashford and Lingard broke forward in the second half, and it was Rashford laying it forward for Lingard to run onto, and he just wasn't quick enough to get to it. And we were saying if it was the other way around, that would have been another chance.
Lingard's strengths and Rashford's strengths are very different, and that's what makes them good. It's just when they're in the opposite.
Yeah, I didn't think Lingard was particularly. He works. He always tries. He's always industrious.
He makes it difficult.
He didn't have one of his better games.
That's how Liverpool have done so well this season. They make it difficult for teams to play from the back, and that's blatantly what he's in there for. And, you know, when we're attacking, you want Rashford through the middle.
I'm a bit of a stupid football fan. I sometimes miss the invisible anonymous scenes around going on, and he is industrious, you know, like just staring like Phil Jones, just watching it.
Like
Spurs, I didn't do one of these, but I woke the next morning and I had the deadline, so I didn't have a booze after. I only had 4 pints before, proud of me everyone, and I bashed my knees, I'd elbows had hurt from ramming in, but at the end I was on my seat.
You really are acting
going,
like Phil Jones, aren't you?
Just being mad. It felt good. It was only one solitary game, but it just felt good back against the walls to fucking go to a rival, win in the United end, to really. It just felt so long since a game like that has mattered. And, and the celebrations at the end, United fans stayed. And I just thought, I love this. If we get an iota of these feelings under Ollie, you know, fucking welcome home. From the turgidness, there's just the smiling faces going in and people looking forward to it, demand, people going, oh, have you got a Brighton spare? You know, we're under Jose, you'd have had hundreds and hundreds of empty seats and a morose, and he looked, you know, I've said we're freed from hostage. Well, that's it. He looked, did you see him on that BN or whatever interview?
Yeah,
he looked like a hostage, sat there and bitter.
I can't believe
angry.
You watched it. Why would you put yourself
not there? Only the highlights that someone had posted,
the highlights the highlights of a Jose Mourinho interview.
Well, what I thought I wanted to know who's asking the question. I thought,
we've
you
just
imagine,
moved away from this misery and you want to go and revisit,
but it would be Jose's hell that it was Richard Keys. Imagine you've been sat by United and your penance is you've got to sit in a room with Richard Keys asking you questions. But we mustn't forget, you know, I don't mind him if he's saying behind the scenes. He won't, because the money fee and the lawyers. But call him out. There's no harm in him still doing that and pointing out some of the flaws we've got, that we still have here, that we mustn't forget about. But I'm looking forward to games. I'm thinking about them all the time.
You just spoke about playing Burnley next week, and the way you spoke about it was the fact that we'd already won the game.
That's
the kind of, you know...
Yeah.
That's the way
I did
think
it's a winnable...
Though,
rather than fear.
It's not like thinking, oh my God, it's going to be embarrassing to go into work on Wednesday morning after we've been beaten at home by Burnley. Now it's like, oh my God, that'll be 7 league games straight.
Yeah.
That's the difference, isn't it? Now it's...
Well, I was thinking the other day, you know, remember Juventus battered us that first half, you know, just... And he didn't even make a change.
No.
Yeah. He didn't put Chong... He did because he wanted to make his point that I've got no... And you think, we wouldn't be doing that. PSG, whatever happens... They know they have a fight on their hands.
They know that you'll see Sanchez, Mata and Lukaku come off the bench.
Well, I've totally forgotten about Sanchez.
Yeah, but he should be fit, probably will be fit for Burnley from what he says, but it just seems better, doesn't it, when you can bring bigger names off the pitch.
Yeah.
Whether they're good or not, we all know that they're capable of something, don't we? We've all seen them at their best, and they are obviously Man United quality when they're at their best.
Yeah.
So the fact we can bring players like that off the bench is just...
And are you still on a crest of a Jose's gone wave, Nathan?
Yeah, like it was a bad dream now, isn't it? But it's
a very bad.
But we've still got big, massive scars of being far down the table.
Well, I've got the scars of Moyes.
Yeah.
I've not let those go.
Well, you know, if Arsenal Chelsea draw tonight, then we've caught up more again.
I think Phelan's influence as well. And you think, you know, what Moyes. We've talked about this before, but you're letting Rene and Phelan go. Their experience, their know-how, their just, you know, you can't imagine Phelan's going to solve anything significant in the world. You know, he's not going to fucking cure AIDS. But what he is going to do is he's going to...
But all they might. Is that <what you're>
No, but you know, like, and thank you, talking of, I've got this weird illness, which my wife always says you don't talk about it much, but my, and the sellers kindly call it AIDS, but one of the things with it is it took me years to pronounce it. It's called Sjogren syndrome. Look it up. It's it gives you vagina dryness, which I haven't got, but it took me 3 years to learn how to say it. That's a common, so it took me 3 years to work out how to say it. But my skin gets really bad in dry cold, so my skin started opening up. So two people offered me a plaster on a Twitter request today, and people bought the mag when I thought it was going to be cold.
Good selling today.
So thank you, everyone. And now, if I said to you two, Windsor Davis, what would you think? Do you know who he is?
I don't know what you're on about.
He's passed away today. He was in It Ain't Half Hot, Mum.
No, it was about TV, I have no idea.
And his catchphrase was, lovely boy. See, I've got my accent in there for you. Now, he, when I was very young, and this isn't like going somewhere bad, went to a school fair, and Windsor Davis used to dress up in shorts and an outfit as if no. And there's a little man that he used to chase and slap in this comedy series. And him, that day at the school fair, they were dressed in their outfit, and he chased him round this pool, this paddling pool, full of kids going, lovely boy. So rest in peace, Windsor Davis. But it carries on that my mum had a friend who always used to call everyone lovely boy. So I'd always say Windsor Davis. So it stuck in my head. So now Albert, my boy, I go, lovely boy. You have to, it's one of those things you have to be there for, but...
It sounds like it.
But no, so... But and there's a lovely article in the mag, I don't know... Matthew's written, which is very emotional and moving, about going to a game, and you think on Boxing Day, where every game matters, and changing tack, not meaning to do an Alan Partridge, but grief can be a very strange thing, like with Mum's anniversary coming up, and I never touched photos and stuff for ages because I just didn't feel too much, and now I'm going through them, and there's lovely ones of us at United and that, and it brings back sparks and memories, having fish and chips before a game, and you think, I don't know, there's nothing profound in it, but grief affects you in various ways. So enjoy every moment while you can, everyone. That's all I'm saying, and it's a really moving piece, but it just, it, you think you, that you don't, you can be walking down the street and you get a memory and it can be a tear one, or you can be walking down the street and you get a lovely one and you start smiling. And recently I've started having moments where I smile about things at games, trips and all that, and I'm glad I'm getting that back rather than the teary ones. So sorry, that was a bit of a ramble. So right, back to United. We're all diffused still. It's a good word. Come on, Nathan, hit me with something.
Just looking for, like, compared to a month or so ago, I'm actually looking forward to the game against PSG. I think, you know, like you say, we've still got weaknesses, but, you know, at least I see that there's some hope there, and you never know, we might. But then again, I think even if we went and they smashed us, I still think that it wouldn't change the positivity that we've got at the moment, because I still think that we've improved so much.
Yeah.
That, you know, no, we've got, there's no expectations for us to get any further in that competition. So just go for it.
Well, it's a free pass till the end of the season. Exactly. We could have had Jose morose until April, and now anything's a bonus, isn't it?
I think they shouldn't decide anything until the end of the season, but I think it's, as things are, is making it very difficult for them to not pick him.
But someone made a good point on the Red News Forum saying, why do we just keep thinking it's down to two men?
Yeah.
Why are we limiting it?
I hope it's not.
What?
Well, I'm assuming the other person you're on about is Pochettino.
Yeah. You don't like him?
No, he's not.
Why?
No, he's 2.0.
Well, that's a bit...
I don't care. I really don't care.
Why?
He's not won anything. I'm not interested. I want Allegri from Juve. He's the pick. That's
yeah, but
I
his football's quite... Did you see their Italian Super Cup win? Quite down, AC Milan down to one. You weren't... You know, I know it's a final, but... I just think...
feel like...
Gary Neville, mate, did you listen to him in the week?
No.
Just saying, you know, to stop trying to change United's philosophy and identity.
Exactly.
When I say United identity, what do you think it means?
Well, it's trying to be attacking, trying to be quick, fast on the, you know, like, having our, bringing our players through, you know, our own players. And at the moment, that's what Ole is doing on every base, you know. That's, we talk about a Manchester United way of playing football, and that's what Ole is doing.
Yeah.
So if we can carry on winning under the way that we see as being the epitome of Man United football, and how we perceive it as,
yeah,
that's how it should be, then it'd be stupid to,
well, I think it's a perception rather than reality, because,
yeah,
even Busby's, you know,
oh, of course,
there, out of all his seasons, I think he had 10, there were, I've said before, there were 5 where they were booed off the pitch in some of the games because, mm, they weren't happy, and Fergie's last few. But if it's a state of mind that that is where you want to be,
yeah,
that as a set, as a, what, a bar, that's all right, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You think, Nick? So Allegri doesn't fit that.
Well, no, I'm not saying he'd be my first choice. I'm just saying I'd rather have him over Pochettino.
Yeah, but then...
That's what I'm just saying.
I mean, we shouldn't be limiting... My Boca man's had a bit of a wobble recently. Since I've tipped him, the brothers, Grimm, are having their moments for Boca. They lost in the cup this week as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I don't know where you watch Boca. Where do you
watch? I don't know where I watch half the shit I do.
God, I don't
and there was me saying earlier I don't watch football. Fucking hell.
You don't watch it, but you sat there giving me a full rundown of the Italian Super Cup final and some random Argentinian team. Boca Juniors versus Belgrano or something. Just, oh dear me.
So, Nathan, where do you stand then? Ole, Pochettino, or just let's see how it goes?
I think it'd be, you know, this could just be a... I think the important thing is... when and if we lose a game is what the reaction is after that. Like, you know, if we do lose,
it's easy
badly
when
at some point, how
yeah,
well, does he recover that, and how do you, or like, have we even gone behind yet in any games under Ole? I don't know. Like, it feels like everything's like,
no,
he's not had to, you know,
yeah,
come back from a,
yeah,
from behind.
Big,
we haven't,
yeah,
we don't know fully yet,
yeah,
how things are. So I think, which, so fair play to the club that they've given themselves this,
yeah, but this is what Nick said, hopefully that they find, and as I keep saying, that the messages are a director of football, and that's where Jose is rich. You categorically, the club have been so late to this, but finally even they accepted, and Jose said no. For him to then mention director of football is pretty... This is how it's all manipulative politics and games, isn't it? Yeah. You know, some of the things you were getting up to, Jose. But no excuse, United also let him down badly. You only get to hear whispers. I'm sure, as I say, more and more will come out in the dirt. But he's not a likeable individual. But the problem is, Ed is the man who wants to be always liked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be that bad. We were selling £1 Jose Mourinho's car.
Yeah, go on. Say, go on.
So one of the houses in front, by near where we sell on the road up to the ground, there was some people selling scarves and badges and stuff. And then they had like a discount section where they were £1 scarves, and there was a good selection of...
Featuring such United legends as Adnan Januzaj. Morgan Schneiderlin,
Di Maria,
of course.
Jesus.
And
do you reckon anyone? I suppose if you're really cold.
I said to Nathan, I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, Nathan, I'll buy you that Jose Mourinho scarf. Your neck looks cold." And Nathan's exact words were, "I'd rather die. I'd rather die."
How about a Morgan Schneiderlin scarf just for that trend-setting moment in your life on a Monday when you're going to work?
Could you imagine coming over with a Morgan?
Is he still at Everton?
Who would have bought a Morgan Schneiderlin scarf?
Who would have bought Morgan Schneiderlin?
They should have been a pound anyway. And still,
25 million, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my days!
It wasn't very good, was it?
That scattergun management we had. But yeah. Right. What else were we going to say?
Do Do you know what? It's interesting. I think over the last three games we've had Reading, Spurs, and Brighton today. You haven't really played overly brilliant in those three games, have you? Like, considering like how it was good against Cardiff and goals were going against Huddersfield and Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Even Newcastle, you know, we were shaky at times. Yeah. It's like there are weaknesses.
Yeah, but
in
that's
squad.
What we are. No, I know.
But what we were with still grinding out results. That's the thing. Yeah. That's what's really good about it.
But that's why we need two or three.
But we should be like you said this morning. We should win at a canter this morning. It's like, well, yeah, we probably should do.
And yeah.
When we went 2-0 up, I was thinking we'd probably go and make it 3 or 4 in the second half. And you feel like we came out this second half today where we've won 6-7 games, whatever, on the bounce, and you're thinking,
yeah, I thought they were
a bit of complacency.
I think it was
coming in from the players. It's got to be creeping in a little bit. You're telling me Pogba was not a prime candidate for someone to get complacent? Of course he is. He's exactly what complacency is. Look up, I bet he's under there's a picture of him underneath it in the dictionary. That's what's a little bit worrying, though. So
we're having a truce with Pogba, aren't we? That we just, if we all try and forget what's happened. And he keeps smiling and taking his penalties.
Well, Ole said clean slate, didn't he, so?
Did he?
Well, yeah, if he says clean slate, then
There's so much that Ollie's saying, I'm just swooning still. You had me at his voice, Ollie.
With his weird Mancunian.
Yeah, great.
I just like the way that he said Burnley in his Manc accent in his interview. That was quite such, when he said about Mike Phelan coming back from Burnley. And he just like randomly came out with this really broad accent.
Have you noticed we've also, the upturn has started since Bongo Man hasn't been around.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
It's either the cold or he was Jose's light chauffeur in his spare time.
Mate, I've got one of the lads I work with who's a City season ticket holder. Says he turns up there with the Etihad doing it.
Does he turn up in a City scarf, though? Because he wears a United scarf when he does it.
Well, you'd hope.
You missed him proper crooning after one game where I was selling late and you'd gone. And he was proper crooning.
Did you see the one where he put the bongo in between his legs and started jumping up and down with it? And he was like, he's like he was on some sort of like pogo stick with his
bongo. We should have got him selling, really, shouldn't we?
Can we get an interview with him?
An exclusive. I'm in the wrong lane.
I enjoyed the Clive Tildesley one. I have to say, Jimmy's done us proud again. We've got a couple of good ones coming up.
I know. I'm in the wrong lane.
Come on, don't let us die, Nick.
I know, I'm just going to have to force it.
Don't do a Prince Philip.
Well, you could let me in there, you know. I'm already in the lane. There we go. Right.
I love the way the press turned the story in. Prince Philip immediately asked how the family were, you know, as soon as he gets out of the car. Well, yeah, because you crashed straight into them. A 97-year-old driving a car, what's that all about?
Well, my grandpa's 91 and he still drives.
I loved someone put about Billy Connolly's. He might not have said it about this. He said, and we don't even let our grandparent have his remote control on the TV. So, what quick ones. This has been in my head today when about the mum thing. What was the first song you remember listening to?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Get It On by T-Rex.
Right, that's good. You like music in your household, don't you?
My mum and dad are obsessed with it, yeah.
Nathan? Remember?
Don't really know, actually.
Mine was Hello Mary Lou by Ricky Nelson. Mum always loved music blaring out, come from a musical family. And what was the first single you bought?
I don't want to say that.
Go on, mine's bad, go on.
It can't be worse than what mine is.
Go on.
I think mine was Baha Men, Who Let the Dogs Out. It was. Do you know what? Actually, it wasn't. I tell a lie. The first single I actually ever bought was that United one with Stryker. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it again.
I don't even remember that. Jesus.
Yeah. I've still got it. It's got a double, the double winners, and it's got. I think it's got Paul Ince rapping on it with.
I'll get that played. Else.
I'll dig it out.
Nathan.
First one I can remember. Oh, I remember my mum and dad bought me the Fugees album.
Oh, that was great.
And then when I was like 5, but then they realised that it was full of swearing, so they wouldn't actually let me have it. So that counts.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Mine was, hey Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you're so fine, hey Mickey. Jesus. And I went out and actually bought that. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, actually. I will dig out that United single for you.
Yes, let's get it played. Right, and we've got some more. Where are you taking us?
I don't know, I'm following Google here. Here you go. Look at that's a lovely scene.
Right, so. We've got a few more things on it. I've spoken to Tom Clare about Duncan Edwards, but also this is the first part of ending with Pete Martin, who sang at the Munich Memorial, the anniversary. He's kindly let us play some of his songs, and this is one of his tributes. So thanks again for everyone who bought the mag and who supports it, as I say. And there's a few people who are liking this, so it's very amateurish, as you can tell, but it's just meant to be mates talking about United. So if you like it, enjoy. We have no funding for the podcast, so the mag and that covers that, but if you can buy the mag, it's appreciated. So bye, Nick. Bye, Nathan.
See ya.
One boy stands alone, of whom throughout the country you hear everybody say, our game became depleted when Big Dunk passed away. So shy and so retiring, his discerning smile was grand, his great heart and young spirit he'd walk throughout the land. Great servant to United, to his country a true son, of football's finest players, Dunk was second to none. In purpose so unsparing, and in playing no less, he reached for the heights that he sought and professed. He relished every battle and contended the good fight. Great champion lost to football when he passed on that sad night. How are we to know he would be called and laid to rest? God called for this young boy because he always wants the best. Did up he left us suddenly, no goodbye, no farewell. Now lies in a churchyard beneath the toll of bells. Invincible, untiring, courageous beyond call, now enshrined in church glass, kneeling with the ball. In his short life he gave us so much pleasure, so much joy. Role model and true legend was this black country boy. Sleep on, dear Dunk, in peace, we shall remember you with pride. Your memory is cherished, and now Molly is by your side. Though years they swiftly pass, they'll never